This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode 245 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
What's up, buddy?
Not much. How about yourself?
Not much. Did you have a good New Year?
No. New Year's has never really been my thing anyway, but it was cold, it was dark. My girlfriend was busy doing stuff with her family, so I didn't get a chance to see her. So it was just not an enjoyable holiday. How about you?
I mean, meh.
Yeah.
That's about it. My son played video games with his friends. My wife went to bed. My daughter stayed up with me. My youngest son was determined to stay up till midnight, but fell asleep at 10:55. So I put him to bed. And then Addison was looking at her phone and I was reading a book. And we had the TV on mute because the New Year's Eve show was, all of them were, they were just fucking abysmal.
Yeah.
I mean, they are terrible. Like, I don't think not a single act I saw did anyone sing live. It was all lip sync, and I'm pretty positive pre-recorded.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, so all of a sudden I look up, and there's 10 seconds left. I was like, "Oh, Addison, 10 seconds!" So I unmuted the TV, and we walked down. I was like, "Hi," and then she went to bed. I've had more exciting New Year's at work where I looked up and, oh shit, it's 10 past midnight. I missed it.
Yep. Yep. Pretty much.
Whatever. Yep. Tis what it is.
I think in general, New Year's is a holiday for people who like to drink and party. You know, who want to gather, and it's after Christmas, so they've gotten rid of all the stress and anxiety, and they're like, you know, let's just get together and let's just fucking party our balls off, and you know, it's a celebration in that respect. But this year with COVID and everything,
yeah,
they couldn't do that, and you and I are not the party types anyway, so it's not really something for us.
Nope, it's not. So, I mean, I worked until 4 o'clock that day. My wife's office closed at 3. When I say office, she stood up from her desk and went, "I'm out of work." You know, at 3, I had to wait till 4 so I could do the same.
Yep. I had actually taken my last personal day of the year because I know that they're letting us carry over vacation and sick, but I'm not sure if they were letting us carry over personal. Some people say yes, some people said no. I was like, I'm just not going to risk it.
So. I used mine on the 23rd of December, so I did the same thing, yeah.
Yeah. Why not? Just burn through it, you know?
Yeah. But I watched some shows and stuff.
I found I watched a disturbing amount of shows this week.
Yeah, see, I don't know if I actually did watch a disturbing amount or if I watched an acceptable amount. I just watched.
Compared to the week before, it was a lot. Like, the week before, we had, like, 5 shows. But then not only this week, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 different shows. And, like, Big Mouth, there were 2 episodes that we watched. Discovery, we watched 4 episodes.
That's true, yeah.
So there was a lot of show watching that happened, in my opinion.
I only watched 2 movies.
I watched three. I actually beat you on movies this week. Not that it's competition, but
there you go.
Yeah, that's it for me being excited about that.
All right, let's get to shows.
Okay.
Well, we watched four episodes of Discovery. We watched episodes, 9, 10, 11, and 12.
And we'd originally said that we were going to watch 9, 10, and 11.
Yeah.
And because 12 was coming out on
New Year's Eve.
Yeah. And we were like, we won't bother watching that one. But then I watched them early in the week, and I was like, dude, episode 11 ends on a big cliffhanger. And you were like, does it? And I was like, yeah, you're going to be like, we need to watch the next episode. So we agreed to watch the next episode. Didn't realize that it was going to be a three-parter.
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of funny because the season one episode is called The Hope Is You Part One.
Yep.
And season 13 episode is The Hope Is You Part Two.
Isn't that weird the way that they did that?
Yeah. So we watched episodes 9 and 10, Terra Firma, and I got to say, I thought they were garbage, and we really could have done without them.
Okay, so it wasn't just me. I was like, I get that they're taking us back to the Mirror Universe, and it's cool that they do the opening credits differently because it's the Mirror Universe. You know, different colors and different effects and stuff, but yeah, I had no use for them either.
No, they bring back the Guardian of Forever. Who probably a lot of Star Trek fans that didn't watch the original series went, who? But he was actually in the original Star Trek series. Not this actor. This actor was, right. I don't think was alive then, or he was a child. But this was in the original, he was in the original series. He was a guarded a time portal. He was also appeared in a one of the animated episodes. There was talk of having the character appear in a Star Trek The Next Generation episode, Yesterday's Enterprise.
Oh, yeah?
But they didn't go with that.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, it's a cool, it's a throwback to an original Star Trek character.
Throwback to an original Star Trek character and the Mirror Universe, which, first became popular in original Star Trek.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's where it's cool. But basically, Giorgio, we've seen she's been sick, and the ship, the spore drive or whatever, the spores that are on the ship, basically, they've kind of talked through the season how the spores seem to be helping them or they're protecting the ship, et cetera. We really see that in episode 12 at the end. But yeah, they basically say you need to go to this planet to get help for Giorgio.
And basically, she has a 5% chance. Like, it's not even like, this is where you're going to get help. It's you might get lucky.
So Giorgio and Burnham go down to the planet and they meet Carl, but we don't find out who he is till episode 10, and essentially Giorgio goes through the Stargate. Goes through the portal and ends up in the Mirror Universe where she is the Emperor still and everybody's evil and they're plotting against her. And I don't know. I just thought it was a bunch of junk. We didn't really see there, she's the Emperor of the Terran Empire.
Like the original time that we met Giorgio in the Mirror Universe, it had real life consequences because this is when we learned about the Mirror Universe. This is when we found out that the captain of Discovery was actually from the Mirror Universe. You know, there were ramifications. This Giorgio came over here, like we met counterparts and stuff. This time it was more just like a flashback sequence that took two friggin' episodes, and it was all just there for her to like. Yeah, she had grown as a person.
It was a giant test to see if she would try to change things in the Mirror Universe or if she would just go with the flow. And when she tried to change things, that's when she proved to Carl that she was worthy of him taking her wherever it is she needed to go so she could survive.
Yep.
And essentially, Burnham goes back to the ship and they decide, okay, so Giorgio's dead. We have to just treat her like she's dead because we're never going to see her again.
Yep.
I just didn't care for it.
No, it basically, like I said, there were no real consequences. They just wrote her off the show in a very lazy way. And they took two episodes to do it. Two episodes that only she experienced, because they made sure to show that when she woke up from it, that Michael was like, oh, it's only been a couple of minutes. What are you talking about? So she's the only one that experienced any of that. The only one that it mattered to. And now everyone's just like, okay, she's gone. Bye.
And honestly, I mean, I enjoyed parts 11 and 10 to an extent, but I just...
11 and 10 or 11 and 12?
11 and 12. You know me, I've gotten kind of jaded when it comes to my television watching, and I don't care for the predictability of things anymore. So I enjoyed the story of them going to the Verubi Nebula. They find a life sign on the planet, you know. Burnham and Saru and Culber go down to the planet. The planet's basically made of dilithium, so that's a plus. Everyone's looking for that. And they find that there's a child down there, and they call it a child, Sukal, but he's like 100 years old.
Yeah. It's kind of like Baby Yoda, you know? He's 50.
Yeah, yeah. But, and essentially, his mother, who we met earlier in a video message, if you will, you know, she was pregnant and she gave birth to this child. And I guess in utero, the radiation's affecting everyone down there. The radiation doesn't affect this kid because his genes kind of grew up with it. So he's cool and he's fine. And his mother basically made a very, very complex holographic hologram for him to live in, with an elder and a monster that scares him and just everything, and programs where he has to learn and interact with people. And this kid's basically lived on his own with this computer holograph system.
Yep.
So that was all cool. Good story. We find out that, you know, Sakul may be responsible for the burn because the kid freaked out and admitted, like, something from... Did you understand that whole part? Like, what he admitted?
It was kind of weird, but basically, like, the place where he is at is near a planet that is just completely rich in dilithium. Like, pretty much the whole planet is dilithium.
Yeah.
It's more than they would need to power every ship in the galaxy, blah, blah, blah. And when he freaked out, something... It was like his response triggered something in the computer program that's supposed to watch over him, which ended up causing an outburst from the dilithium.
Yeah. That radiated outward and possibly caused the burn. Like, this kid's panic attack, maybe as a child, caused the burn to happen initially, right? Or birth, or maybe it's the child's birth caused it or something. I don't know. So we get a lot of that, and that was interesting. However, what was not interesting to me was Osiris showing up with the Emerald Chain.
Yeah.
And then, you know, with Saru gone, he puts Tilly as, you know, charge. She's number one, so she's the captain. So, of course, we have her. This is where I hated it. Where Osiris, where basically there's a standoff and one-upmanship. And then Osiris, of course, captures Discovery and then makes it – and then envelops her ship around Discovery. So now all of a sudden the spore drive no one can figure out. She's figured out how to make it jump her ship and Discovery at the same time.
And not only that, but basically, like, they just happen to have this headband that allows them to mind control the navigator there. They just, like, slap it on his head, and he's like, oh, now I'll do whatever you want.
Yeah, so I had tremendous issues with this because I hate the... Discovery is the reason why we watch the show and the crew. They can kill members of the crew. That's possible. Uh-huh. They can't destroy the ship. You know, it's just the you behave or I'll turn this vehicle around, you know, false threat. That's what this is to me. It's just, it's redundant because you know they're going to overcome this, and it's just, you know, it doesn't entertain me anymore to see this false people being put in peril that I know are going to be killed, or false storylines of. And then, so Sarah makes some jump and he goes back to Federation headquarters. But the admiral there at the Federation is pretty smart, and he's like, okay, well, there seems to be another ship attached to Discovery, so we're going to only open the shields up enough for Discovery to come in, and that's it. And so they easily keep Osiris' ship outside the shields.
Yeah.
And now we have a diplomatic meeting between Osiris and the Federation.
Head of the Federation, which, yeah, you're underselling it. When you say diplomatic, it literally, like, I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm like, where's the deception? Where's the turning traitor? Like, she's literally just like, yeah, we'll be part of the Federation. And he's like, okay, we'll welcome you to the Federation. She's like, great, let's sign. Like, where's the turncoat? Right. Where's the...
Well, she's like, this is what I want. And he's like, these all seem very... After he reads it, this all seems very reasonable.
Yeah. Yeah, she said this whole thing.
Who's going to be the liaison? Who's going to be the liaison? It can't be someone that's, you know, basically your puppet. Yeah, you're right. It won't be. Okay. And then he's like, well, who's going to, you know, you have to stand trial for your, you know, for your crimes. And she's like, no, I'm not. And that's what hinders them from continuing on. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of had issues with that. Because she basically leaves and goes back to Discovery, and she's like, blow this place up and kill everything, because, you know, they wanted me to be put on trial. We see there's a scientist that can't walk, and he apparently is very obedient to Osiris, until, of course, he's very easily persuaded to see that she's really a piece of shit. And once he sees that, you know that's going to change things.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. and of course, Burnham comes off the planet. She Stamets that's the navigator guy. She frees him, and then he wants to jump the ship back to go get Culber, and she's like, "No, you can't, because they can't have you, because without you, they can't run the ship." And he's like, well, what will I say to Adira? Because this is one of the storylines I've truly enjoyed, is how Stamets and Culber have kind of become surrogate dad to Adira.
Yeah.
And looks at her as like a daughter. And I actually really dig that storyline.
Yep.
With them. And she's like, and Burnham's like, oh no, Adira she's down on the planet. She stowed away on book ship, and she took his radiation pills and teleported down to the planet. And he's like, well, my whole world's down there. Now I have to do this. And she knocks him out and puts him in an escape pod, if you will, and sends him off to Discovery. So that way they can't have him to make the ship jump.
Right.
But so that does make sense to me.
And yeah, it was really good seeing him like flip out like that. He's like, my entire life is on that planet right now. Like, yep. he was sad that his husband was down there, but he was like, you know, I've got to go talk to Adira and let her know what's going on. Oh no, she's there too. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
So my husband and my surrogate child are down there. Nope. I'm going.
He basically went from season one to being a very unlikable character.
Yep.
To becoming a very sympathetic and likable character by the end of season three here.
I would agree with that.
So Thursday night, this coming Thursday the 7th, we get the final episode. I'm very excited to watch it. I look forward to finishing out the season.
Cancel your subscription.
I enjoy this show, so I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I might, because the other show we watch on CBS All Access, The Stand, is not impressing me whatsoever. And I asked you this week, are you even going to continue watching it? And you said yes, because it's a limited series, but I'm not sure I want to waste my time.
I think I'm going to.
Yep.
I think I'm going to stick with it, just because I've already, you know, I've already committed time. I've already committed money. I still have to catch up, and I don't know if you're going to do this as well, but I still have to go back and watch Lower Decks, you know, the animated Star Trek.
I might burn through it real quick, because it's not very long, and I have surgery
like 20 on Thursday. Minutes or
something. Yeah, I have surgery Thursday, so I'm going to be laid up for a little bit, so I might burn through it.
Yeah. But yeah,
but I'm sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
Oh no, I was gonna say I'm gonna stick with the stand for now, even though this, like, the second episode didn't impress me. The third episode, good God.
No, no, it was terrible.
Yeah.
It was terrible. I don't even want to just go watch it for yourself, and you'll see how bad it is.
Yeah. The only thing that I'll say about it, like I said to you in the message, is that they use too many flashbacks, and yep, they don't properly set them up. So the characters all look the same. So sometimes you're not sure if you're watching a flashback or current time.
Right.
And it's very confusing, and it's very annoying.
Yeah, and the fact that we have This Is Us coming back week, we have Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist coming back this week.
The Rookie just came back.
The Rookie came back last night. We still have to watch that. Unicorn came back. There's a bunch of shows coming back that make me want to go, okay, I need to clear up some time because I may not have the time to watch tons of stuff. You know, I mean, there's so much stuff coming back.
Right.
So,
yeah, this past week I really lucked out. I mean, it was six of one, half dozen of the other. Like I said, you know, my girlfriend was busy all week, so I literally just had nothing but time on my hands. Like, I was sitting in the house all the fucking time. And, so I ended up with plenty of time to watch shows. Like, I had most of my shows watched early in the week, and then I'm like, fuck, I don't want to keep watching stuff and keep adding to my list. Like, I could have possibly had like 12 or 13 movies like you. And I'm like, Jesus, I'll just be talking all night.
Yeah. And, I had a little bit less time this week to watch, or last week, if you will, to watch stuff. And then, Kate and I started watching Unforgettable. Remember that show? Poppy Montgomery, yeah, from 2011.
Yes, I do remember that show.
Yeah, it started on CBS and then it ended on A&E, I think it was. Yeah. I enjoyed it. It was 2011 was the first season. I remember watching the first season and the majority of it, and I enjoyed it. But then life stuff started happening, and I stopped watching things for a while. And, you know, I had some pretty dramatic changes after that. And I happened to notice that it was on I was looking for other shows. I was actually trying to find some different shows to watch. Like, I was trying to see if Touching Evil was streaming anywhere, because I wanted to watch that again, and it's not. But I happened to find this show was. Why am I watching? What did I watch that made me want to watch Touching Evil? Oh. Was that a movie? Maybe I did watch more movies than I thought. Hold on, I'm trying to think.
Okay. Holding on.
Who's the actor I'm trying to think of? You know, he was in Burn Notice.
Oh.
He was in Touching Evil.
Yeah. And he was in Shut Eye.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but Jeffrey Donovan?
Yeah, I just saw him in something. I just watched something he was in, so maybe I did watch a show or something.
Okay.
Watch a movie that he was in. I just forgot about it. But so anyways, yeah, I saw him in something. It made me want to watch Touching. Oh, I did. Right. Okay. I did get a red box. I don't remember. I got one more movie to watch.
Going to add that to the list.
Yeah, I'm going to. So, yeah. So I did watch a movie, another movie. And, I'll just talk about that later. So anyways, we found Unforgettable was on there. And he...
Did you say where you found it? Because you said that you were looking around.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. You can watch it through Amazon Prime, but it's on IMDb TV.
Yep.
So it's actually IMDb TV with Amazon Prime. And you can watch... It's got commercials with it, but they're very limited. I mean, there may be four commercial breaks in the show, but like, they're not 3 minutes long or 2.5 minutes. I think the longest stretch was a minute. Sometimes they're just 12 seconds long. So the commercial breaks are very, very short. And I had seen some other stuff on IMDb TV before, but I didn't watch it because of, I guess I don't like commercials anymore. So anyhow, we watched about a half dozen episodes, And Kate digs it, and I dig it. We like it a lot.
Nice.
Anyhow, let's see.
I remember enjoying the first season, but I don't think I watched any more.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was weird because it got canceled, and it came back, and canceled, and came back. And yeah. It was just one of those type of series where you had to really work to be a fan to find when it was on and when it was airing.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, at that point, it was just too much work to care.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, quite frankly, yes. Yes. What else did you watch, sir?
Like, it was never that good of a... well, we watched two episodes of Big Mouth. We watched the... And this actually worked out really well because these two tied in directly to each other. By the end of the second episode, you realized. I mean, I kind of had it figured out in the second episode, but the first one was a very special 9/11 episode. And it was typical Big Mouth fashion where they were going on a school field trip to the 9/11 museum. Coach Steve was there, and he was all excited because his birthday was September 11th, and the I can't even remember his name, but the pretentious gay kid was teasing him the whole time and like trying to tell him, you know, oh, tell everybody that this day's all about you, and tell them that you know that it's an inside job, the surprise party that we're setting up for you. So tell them that 9/11 is an inside job, and they'll get what you're talking about. And basically, just made him into a piece of shit. But then Steve found out what really happened on 9/11, and suddenly he was like, why was I born? I'm terrible. Like, you don't often Coach Steve, like, is optimistic over everything. Like, he's always happy. He's always optimistic. You can never seem to get him down. This broke him. Like, he was crushed, and he felt like the biggest piece of shit in the world. And, you know, his birthday was associated with this national tragedy, and all this time he had been oblivious to it. It was really weird seeing him like that. And then over on the other end, we had Andrew and Nick met up with Jessie because, you know, she has moved to this area and she's got her new boyfriend. And Andrew, of course, being Andrew, was so enamored with her new boyfriend because he's so edgy and he's so, he's spray painting shit on the ground that's like a testament against big government and the sheeple of the world. And Andrew's just loving him, and Nick's jealous because Nick still likes Jesse, but he can't admit it, and he can't, you know, say that to her. He's got to just basically say, you know, your boyfriend's a piece of shit. And of course, he shares a hormone monster with Jesse, and she's going back and forth between the two of them and trying to get Nick to admit that he's jealous and trying to get Jesse to admit that maybe she still likes Nick. And it ends up completely backfiring. And she now, Connie, is no longer going to be Nick's hormone monster. She says that she can't work with him anymore. And now Jesse hates him and Connie's gone. And so he kind of gets back on the bus at the end and he's feeling like a piece of shit. Andrew's oblivious to all this, of course. And, and then we got to, I wish I could remember the phrase for it, but Missy hung out with the other black student on their field trip and he taught her about, I can't remember the name of it, but it's basically
a switch on his arm that made him talk different ways. Like, all the way, like, I don't remember him either, but it was basically like he could talk to white people and be non-threatening. He could talk to older people and get along with them. He could talk to black people and be normal. I don't know how to say
it. And it was like, you know, white men or white women or teenagers or old people of different races. Like, it was basically a defense mechanism, but he basically was saying, you know, this is how you code switching. That's what it was.
Code switching. Yes. Yeah. Yep.
So, and then he goes to see his cousin and he's in a room full of black people and they basically call him a piece of shit for code switching. They're like, just be honest about being black and just, you know, be who you are. But then his cousin, who's giving him the most shit, her white neighbor comes over and she's like, oh my God, are we going to go get lattes later? And she's like, oh, you know, we are. Don't you fucking say anything about this. You know? So she code switches as well.
Yeah.
Which then leads us into the next episode, which was the futuristic episode. And
hold on a second. What you missed, though, in there was Missy talking about she doesn't have a code switch, but she's also voiced by a 37-year-old white woman, so.
Yeah, yeah, which, again, these were recorded before she was swapped out to a different voice actress, so that's going to be a fun one to come up later on. But again, this show is very aware of itself.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah.
It takes shots at itself constantly.
So episode 6 is called Nick Star, and it takes place in the future. Basically, Nick is famous. He's a host of a show, and he's the only one to become famous. And the Earth is about to be destroyed. There's a hole in it. Water's pouring down into the core. It's going to be dead tomorrow. He gets one of two. He gets two tickets, basically, to get off the planet and go be rescued out in space. And he's told that he has to take one other human with him, somebody he can procreate with. So he sees that he sees a video of Jesse as an activist, and he's like, oh, I'll take her. She's going to be at Missy's funeral because Missy was killed the day before. And it's just, it's a lot of like seeing what he's like as an adult, and he's kind of a dick, you know, thinks he's better than everybody else. And, hasn't stayed connected to most of his old friends, blah, blah, blah. And the long and the short of it is that we find out at the very end that this was all just a dream. You know, it was a fantasy sequence. He's still on the bus coming back from the field trip, feeling like a piece of crap, wishing he had gotten to stay with Jesse, realizing he really likes her. And this was all just like a fever dream, imagination, fantasy, kicked in by, in part by Tito, the anxiety mosquito.
Fucking Tito.
Yeah. Man. I know. Fucking Tito.
I mean, it's a funny name, Tito the Anxiety Mosquito, but yeah.
Right. Tito. yeah, it's still an enjoyable show. Like, it's nothing that it, like the first couple of seasons, I could sell those to anybody. I was like, you need to watch this show. Now that we're up to this season, I'm like, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, no, not so much this season, in my opinion.
Yeah. Even the last season, I remember, was a little bit, but this one, I'm having a harder time selling it to people. Like, I tried to the other day. I was talking to someone, and I was like, oh, Big Mouth's so good. I was talking to, there was like three or four people in the chat, and somebody else was like, oh, my God, I love that so much. And people were like, well, why should we like it? And I'm like, watch the first two seasons. It's really good. Yeah. Aren't there four seasons? Yeah, just watch the first two.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
So, what else? Oh, do you want to talk about We Are the Champions? Frog jumping?
So this was better than I thought it was going to be. It's essentially one frog jumping competition that they take very seriously at this county fair, or yeah, county fair, basically. Yep. Where it's one of the biggest focal points of the fair, from what it looks like. They even have like a walk of fame where the winners had a plaque inserted into the ground with the name of the frog that won and who won and their distance and everything. And there's this building pot that of cash prize that's up to $5,000 that if you get the furthest jump, if you break the record, which is like 21 and a half feet, you win. And
it's like a world record, right?
I think it's a record that was set there.
Okay. Cause I know they had like the normal competition was, you know, the top prize was say like $500, but yeah. Then like if you broke the record,
yes,
it was,
which was like a 30-year-old record that was set there, you know. And the person that set the record and won that year hasn't won since then, but they're still in it type of thing. And we see it like that. This is a lot of families that through the years, the different generations have entered this contest as time goes by. And essentially you take a frog, you drop it down on the starting spot, and then people have different techniques, but you have to get your frog to jump three times. And of course, you want your frog to jump outward because if they jump straight ahead, they're jumping that's the distance. So they get three jumps to break the 21 and a half feet or to jump the furthest. And whichever frog jumps the furthest wins. So you have these people that have won multiple championships and they get up there, and when their frog jumps, it decides it's going to jump to the left. So it does its three jumps. Maybe it jumped 50 feet to the left, but it didn't jump out. So it didn't jump. It has to jump away from the thing, not the furthest away in a forward motion, not into a side motion.
Right.
So it was actually more interesting than I thought it was going to be. That's my sell. It was more interesting than I thought it was going to be. What did you think?
It was more interesting than I thought it was going to be, but that was a very low bar because this was the one I was looking forward to the least. A couple of things that I thought were interesting were like how they have their particular spot of the bayou or whatever where they get all their frogs from.
Oh, and they get pissy if someone rolls in. Yeah.
And how like they compete with these frogs and then they take them back out there and release them so that they can breed better ones the next year.
Yeah. These people take this fucking seriously.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge family thing. And
yeah. No, there's no messing around with this. They take this seriously. But no, I mean, I thought all in all and overall, I thought it was quite enjoyable.
Yeah, I could take it or leave it myself.
I mean, it's like I'm not going to go watch it again.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't think I'm going to watch any of those episodes again.
No.
If they did the second season, I would watch the second season again.
Right.
The only one I might watch again is the cheese rolling one, just to see what type of cheese it was, so I can try it. I could probably find that on Google.
I was thinking I might watch the hot pepper one again, just to see the different, like, the mathematical joules and, you know, how many Scoville units they were.
Yep. So we each have our reasons.
Yep.
But, yeah. What else we got?
Well, two shows came back this week. We had Transformers Earthrise, which is the first episode in the second part of the trilogy of the new Transformers anime.
Yep.
This one, almost the entire episode, except for maybe like the last 30 seconds of it, all takes place on Cybertron. It all follows what happened after Optimus and the Autobots took off.
Yep.
There's no, like, in the last 30 seconds, you get to see some scavengers that show up on the Ark, and they're like, oh, what have we got here? And you see Optimus, and everybody's all slumped over. But that's all you get.
Yeah.
So everything else is seeing how, basically, Megatron and the Decepticons they're trying to put together a new program. We don't know what it is. What is it, Project Nemesis or something?
Yeah.
And, one of the things that they're doing is they are scavenging their own people. Like, they are decommissioning Decepticons and sucking the spark out of them to power this. Because without the AllSpark, there's no more spark going around, and they're just dying. Like, Megatron actually had, like, almost a compassionate moment where Shockwave was like, hey, you need to shut down Sector 12. And he's like, I'm going to go see. And he goes out there, and he takes the tour of Sector 12, and the guy's like, oh, yeah, we've been working our asses off. We've been doing everything that we can. And then it turns out that, like, it's something ridiculous. It's like 93% of his workforce is all decommissioned. They're all broken down because, you know, they're not getting repaired. They're not getting Energon. And so at first, Megatron seems like he's going to take their side. And then he's like, yeah, shut it down. Decommission them all.
Yeah. And I'm curious. Called Earthrise, so we have to get to Earth at some point.
Right. And, of course, once again, we prove that the Autobots are ridiculous because they fall into the exact same trap they fell in the first season, where, you know, one of their kind apparently sends out a message to them that says, hey, you should come over here. And they go, let's go over there. And it was the Decepticons. Whoa.
Yeah, the remaining Autobots, basically, that we know, the headliners, if you will, get captured.
Yep.
And Megatron, like any good villain, unveils his entire plan to them.
Yep, and then says that he's going to decommission them and suck their sparks out.
Yeah. There is a very creepy moment where Megatron is sitting there talking to someone, and it turns out it's Ultra Magnus's
head. Oh, yeah.
Like he's having a conversation with. That was just sort of fucked up completely.
Well, it's even creepier because, like, Ultra Magnus is not talking back, obviously, because he's dead. So it's a completely one-sided conversation. Like, if they had had another voice and you were like, oh, he's hearing voices in his head, that would have been a little bit better. But no, this is him just literally carrying on a conversation with an unspeaking head.
Yes. Yeah, it's disturbing.
Oh, yeah. Up the creep factor. Huge.
Yeah. It's very disturbing. That's what it comes down to. What was the other show that came back?
Cobra Kai.
Week early.
Yeah. I'm fucking pissed.
Why?
Not that it's back a week early, but that everybody in the universe decided to go immediately on the internet and run spoilers.
Oh, yeah. And binge the fuck out. I feel like we need to. I don't think we can sit back and enjoy this one episode a week because it's going to be ruined.
Yeah.
If it hasn't been already.
I know that. So one of the shows that I watch that I know you don't watch is it's called the Netflix After Party. And it's the.
Yes, I saw they had an episode.
Yeah. Well, originally it was just like an end of the year thing. And I watched it like last week or the week before and I forgot about it. And it was pretty good. You know, they were just talking about Netflix shows. And then they were like, oh, well, it worked so well that we're going to have it on every week. And I saw the write up for this one. It was like, yeah, we get the stars of Cobra Kai on here and talk spoilers. And I'm like, fuck. But then, like I said, I couldn't turn anywhere on the internet without seeing spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. And then some of them didn't even say spoiler. They were just like, so this is how they, and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
That's bullshit.
Yeah, it is. But of course, I have integrity, so I'm not going to say it out loud. I'll let you and everybody else stumble upon it at their pace, but.
Well, so I guess it comes down to do we want to take our time with this or do we just want to burn through it?
I mean, I'm okay with burning through it. It is a great show. What are your thoughts?
Well, Kanan's already burned through it and practically almost ruined it for me.
Betrayal by the kid.
I know. So I had to tell him to shut the hell up.
Yeah, I had one of the guys in my D&D group was like, hey, you watch Cobra Kai, right? I'm like, dude, I've only watched one episode of the third season. Oh, I won't say anything yet then. I'm like, fuck. And then my boss this morning, he's like, so I'm on third season of Cobra Kai. I'm like, god damn it. I'm like, dude, I'm only one episode in. I'm doing one a week. He's like, oh, well, do you know? And I'm like, yeah, I've seen the spoilers. And he's like, oh, okay. I'm like, yeah, so fuck you.
Oh, let's just burn through it then.
Yeah.
Especially if you've already had it spoiled.
Yeah.
Might as well just burn through the damn thing.
It sucks because I liked having one a week to watch, but at the same time, I remember every time watching it being like, I want to watch more. And you'd usually message me and be like, I want to watch more.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing was, is like, we could do that because people had already watched it or had been long enough since people had watched it.
Right.
So it didn't affect us.
Yep.
But it affects us this time.
And because it's the new year and it's such a popular show.
Oh, yeah, it's a very popular show. Well, it was like last year and everyone burned through the tiger fucking people.
Oh, Jesus. Tiger King?
Tiger King, yeah. When everyone burned through that in the blink of an eye because it's like, oh, we have nothing to watch. I'll watch Tiger King.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess maybe we should just watch it. And, no, I don't want to get it over with because I don't want to rush through it, but.
I don't either, but.
Get it over with.
So what did you think about this episode?
I almost feel like it was. It was okay. It wasn't. The big setup, of course, was Miguel waking up at the end.
Right. Which, if you've seen any trailers, you know that's going to happen.
You know what happened, yeah. So that was, they kind of spoiled that themselves. But I don't know. We get to see drunk Johnny feeling remorse, trying to get into a fight with people because he's angry, getting his ass kicked, going to jail. He bails out of jail and go visits Miguel, and you know, we get to see him be like, you're a winner, you can fight out of this, blah 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 blah. After, you know, when, okay, this is what's stupid. He can't go in the ICU because he's not family. So he bashes his head to get a laceration. So they don't just stitch people up in the ICU like that. I mean, no. He still went in there.
No, the ICU is for critical. It's intensive right. care. Like
right. Intensive care unit. That's what it stands for. So I have a little issue with that. But I guess I'd just be splitting hairs if I complained about that.
No, I hear you. I felt the same way.
Yeah. What'd you think?
And we got to see that basically Daniel is now looked at as the asshole by the community. Like, most of them are okay. blaming him.
I did like the fact when he's at the Pete Parent conference and he's like, I got, karate helped me from being bullied in high school. I heard you were the bully. I did enjoy random guy yelling out.
And then they just dropped it. They just let it die because he like had that little look on his face like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Oh, and then they called his daughter a skank.
Mm, yeah.
Your skank daughter was, you know, stepping around
with that girl's boyfriend.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was funny. So the people, the anonymous tough guys yelling out did make me chuckle a lot.
Yes. But yeah, basically it was a setup episode. This was to ease you back into the show.
Yeah, it showed you that Robbie's on the run. He's
cut off his gorgeous locks
for him. Oh yeah, but here's what's dumb. We saw him in jail in one of the trailers already.
Yeah,
and his long hair again in that scene.
Maybe it's a flashback.
Oh, maybe it is a flashback. I don't know. That's true. Maybe that was a flashback scene from the last time I was in jail or some shit like that.
Sam's got a little PTSD.
Hey, you know, I didn't pick up on the fact that the girl there from season 2 was the older sister on Jesse that Addison used to watch all the time.
Oh, see, I never watched Jesse, so.
Yeah, I didn't realize that was her. Yeah, that's it there. Yeah, he's got the PTSD. Or she does.
Yep. She can't be in school at first because she sees everybody looking at her and, you know, judging her. And when she goes to put her hand on the handrail where Miguel fell and broke his neck, she's like, nope, I'm out. Peace.
And then, of course, she goes back and confronts the bitches.
Because why wouldn't you pick a fight with girls?
Say it to my face.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Love that tough guy act.
I enjoy it. let's see. So, Sweet Home.
Alabama.
I don't think I'm going to keep watching it.
Really?
Yeah.
You were so into it.
I did enjoy the first couple episodes, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to keep watching. What did you think of this week's episode?
I had a harder time with this one.
Yeah.
Especially where Alice in Borderland is really gripping me and seems to be going somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, Sweet Home doesn't seem to be going anywhere.
And maybe that's why I'm having such issue with it, because I'm watching two foreign language shows at the same time, and one's really, really good, and the other is kind of just okay.
Yeah, like, Sweet Home really felt like it stalled out this week for me. I was wondering if you felt the same way. But, like, we got to see a lot more CG monster fights.
Yep.
Which really showed how bad the CG is, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And it's feeling more like a soap opera than anything at this point.
Yes. Yes, it did. It took a turn that I just don't appreciate.
Introducing the two little kids. I told you, nothing good ever comes when you have kids as main characters.
Yeah, basically. It took a turn for me this week that I didn't care for or appreciate or give two shits about. it really kind of, I struggled to watch it. I actually had to shut it off and then go back and finish it. And I actually struggled with episode 2 a little bit. Whereas Alice in Borderland, I can't get enough of it.
Dude, I will agree with you on Sweet Home. Like, I'm not at the point where you're at. I'm not ready to give up on it yet. But yeah, considering that I'm comparing the two of them, it's, you know, it's Velveeta shells and cheese versus Hannaford 25 cent mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Like, there's just no comparison.
Right.
And yeah, no, Alice in Borderland, holy Christ.
Alice in Borderland this week is just keeps getting better and better and better.
That twist, holy shit, I love that. I loved the twist of the distance thing.
Yes, I thought they all thought, okay, we need to run as far as we can.
Yep, the game was called Distance.
Yep, and then we find out that, no, it's not about that. It's not about that at all.
Yep.
So,
as they're running away from, you know, where they started on the bus, their distance meter keeps going up and up and up and up. But there was nothing to say, this is how far you have to go. So they just kept running. And there were different things, like a very badly CG'd panther that attacked them. And, you know, different shit that was fucking people up. And I mean, we got that whole thing in the beginning where... oh God, I'm going to butcher his name. What was it?
Arisu.
There we go. Yeah. Where he's basically just given up. He wants to die. He's just laying on the street, and we get to see the free runner girl. Like, we get a bit of her backstory, yes. But she like passes him 3 or 4 times. As he's just laying there trying to die in the street. And finally, she's just like, come eat something. You got to play a game. You got to keep moving.
Yeah.
Don't let him take you out like this.
Yeah, don't let it be this way. You know, you have to live for your friends, et cetera, et cetera. And he does. He gets the motivation by the end.
Yep.
And then he finds out that – and it didn't – and that was the thing, was the bus is where they needed to be. So if you stayed on the bus, you were safe.
Yeah. The distance was the distance from the goal, which it said goal on the side of the bus.
Which they didn't see. So, yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I really, really liked it. We got to meet 3 new characters. 2 of them, of course, died.
Uh-huh. The one that we lived is the one that's got a broken leg.
Yeah, the one that, yeah, and he basically had to stay on the bus because he couldn't run or go anywhere. So it worked out for him.
Yep.
I wonder if we'll see his character again or not.
I thought it was cool that when the 3 of them showed up on the bus, they were like, yeah, we all ended up in the same game together, and ever since then we've been working as a team.
Yeah.
Oh, cool, you know?
Yep. Yeah, makes sense, right?
Yep.
But I don't know if I'm gonna keep watching
Sweet Home.
Sweet Home, yeah.
I get it.
Play it by ear.
Yeah.
Play it by ear, see what happens.
Yep.
Let's see what else do we have on the list here. Big Mouth, Unicorn wasn't on. Talk about The Stand.
Got a couple of HBO Max shows you want to talk about?
Yeah, I was just kind of going through. So I absolutely loved. Oh, damn it.
Uh oh.
No. It's not Hawthorne. All I can think of is Hawthorne. It's not Hawthorne.
Lovecraft Country?
Lovecraft, see?
Oh, okay.
I think it was Hawthorne. It's not Hawthorne. Lovecraft. I loved Lovecraft Country.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the first episode. I watched the first episode last week after we recorded, and I wanted to watch more.
Yeah.
Like, I was in. I just wanted to watch more of that show.
I will watch
episodes of that if you show. Want.
Huh? I've only watched the one. Okay. That was one show that when it came out, I specifically didn't watch it because I was like, this is something that Mike and I are going to definitely want to talk about on the podcast.
Yeah. And I really dug it. I really, really dug it. I like that it takes place in the 50s.
Yep.
I enjoy, it's interesting because see, the Lovecraft Country book and Lovecraft, when he wrote his stories, they took place basically, they say New England, but Massachusetts mostly. And they're using the same town names, but they're seeming to have them take place in the South here in this.
Yep.
But, you know, I don't know. I didn't realize it was based on a book, but it's based on a book. It's only 10 episodes. They've all aired already.
And they were doing one a week.
Yes, they did do one a week from August to October, yes. You know, in this episode, we meet Atticus Freeman, who gets a letter that his dad's missing. Atticus was a veteran in the Korean War. So he goes to see his Uncle George, who writes a black travel guide. Remember the movie The Green Book?
Yep.
Basically, it's the same thing where you go to a town and it lets you know where it's safe for them to travel. So they are heading off to Massachusetts when they leave Chicago, and it's him and it's Atticus Freeman, it's his Uncle George, and then his friend Letty, and it's a female, and the three of them head out. They run into a tremendous amount of racism. You know, they stop at what used to be a diner that was in this Green Book travel guide, which is definitely no longer safe for black people to be at.
Right. Yeah. They kind of noticed that the walls have been painted over where it was burned down.
It was like, why is the White House white? Because when it was burnt down, they had to paint white over the burnt.
Right.
And they noticed that the place had previously been burned, and like Letty goes to use the bathroom, and the clerk there, the waiter, the cook, the only guy that's apparently working, is on the phone. He's like, of course I haven't served them after what you did to so-and-so.
Yeah.
So they get out of there, and a bunch of people from the fire department and everything start chasing them and shooting at them. They get out of Dodge, and they end up at a family member's house. They stay the night. The next day, they go looking for this side road thing, and of course, the sheriff rolls up, and basically he's like, hey, so the county has a sundown law, and after sundown, if you're still out and about, I can apparently kill you, because yep. I guess back then black people had to be in before the sun went down, or they could be lynched. And so they take off to cross the county line.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, he said, do you know what a sundown city is? And they were like, yeah. Yep. He's like, well, this is a sundown county.
Yeah.
So it was apparently certain ones that had that rule. But yeah, that's disgusting.
Yeah, but it's a real thing. Like, how is that a real thing? You know, like they didn't allow. If you can go on Wikipedia and read about it, you know, it's not just in the United States. I mean, they've had them in Canada, over in Europe, of course, Germany, Italy, fascist Italy, Nazi Germany, you know, South Africa, you know, they've had it all over the place. But, you know, basically it stated that the colored persons had to leave town by sundown.
Yep.
Plain and simple.
We got to see a very intense chase because, you know, they needed to get out of town before sundown, and they were counting down the seconds. And but they also were being followed by the sheriff, so they couldn't speed because he was like, yeah, if you speed, I'm going to pull you over, and then you're never going to get out of here.
Right. Incidentally, the first place that happened in the United States was in 1714 in New Hampshire.
Really?
Yep. And it happened in Oregon in the 1840s, and it wasn't repelled in Oregon until 1926.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's just kind of scary, really.
Yeah.
But anyways, I really do love this show. We meet these monsters. According to Wikipedia, they're called Shoggoths, which they were calling them vampires on the show.
Yep.
And I loved it. I thought it was awesome. Like we said, the sheriff, it kind of follows them out of the county. They think they're safe, and they cross the county line like with a minute to spare before sundown. And then, of course, they run into a roadblock, and then they get hauled off in the woods because the sheriff's basically accused them of being burglars or whatever. So they're going to go haul them off in the woods and lynch them. But then they all get attacked by these vampire monsters, these Shoggoths, and they find that they don't like light. They don't like, you know, sunlight or any light whatsoever.
Pretty much any light, yeah.
Yeah. So, but Atticus, George, and Letty manage to escape eventually, and they head out, and they finally make their way to this big mansion or big place they are looking for. That they had got like a hint. This is one of the places his dad might be or may have gone. And it's this huge mansion, and they roll up, and this man comes out and seems to know who Atticus is and says they've been waiting for him. At the same time, earlier in the episode, the car that was chasing them down after they got run out of the restaurant, this car kind of comes out of this side road. It's really kind of fancy. I don't know if it was a Rolls Royce, but it kind of looked like one, and cuts off the car that was chasing them and appears to cause that car to get into an accident. Well, they see this car at this mansion. So,
yep. They're met by a very blonde guy who basically says, "Welcome home."
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to watching more episodes of this show. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yep, I am as well.
Flight Attendant was good too.
How many episodes did you watch?
We watched the first two episodes. Well, I thought we were just going to watch the first two.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched the first two episodes of The Flight Attendant. There's only 8 episodes in that. I mean, you'd kind of told us about the first one.
Yep.
When you first watched it back in November. Because all the, you know, they released 2 episodes a week. Oh, no, 3 episodes. The first
week. I think it was like 3-2-2 or something like that.
Yeah, 3-2-2-1. But, I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Good. I'm glad you did. It was better than I expected, kind of like what you were saying about the frog jumping one.
Yep.
It was, you know, it is a murder mystery kind of thing. She wakes up with a dead body there, but I like the twist of him coming back and talking to her and trying to like get her to remember things. And, you know, you don't quite know everything else that's going on. Like her coworker there, Rosie Perez, she seems really shady as shit by the second episode.
Very much so. Yes.
So there's a lot going on, and yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how this spins out. But then again, they said that they're already working on a second season. So I don't know if it's going to be a new mystery or if this one's just going to continue going.
Oh, that'd be interesting. I guess we'll find out when this is over if it's going to be a new mystery or not.
Yep.
Right.
I hope it'll be a good a different mystery, but yeah.
But basically, you know, Kaylee Cuoco plays Casey. She's a flight attendant who is kind of a slut and gets drunk, and she's in Bangkok, Thailand, and she gets drunk with this guy. When she wakes up, he's dead. So she freaks out, does all the wrong things, and then gets back on the plane and eventually ends up back in the United States. And the FBI is involved and other police, and they start investigating, and they're asking her all these questions. She stupidly goes to his office to try to find out information on her own, which makes her look even more suspicious.
Right.
A friend who's a lawyer who's basically telling her to shut up and not say any more than what I tell you to say. But basically, Cassie just sort of spills her guts to the FBI by the end of episode 2.
Yep.
And basically just says, look, this is what happened. This is what's going on, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, and she does remember what she didn't remember in the first episode because she was blackout drunk, but she may have been drugged, I'm assuming. But at the end of the second episode, she does remember leaving the room and passing out in the hallway on a bench. So There's that fun. Yeah.
Good.
So I'm looking forward to episode 3.
Good. I enjoy it quite a bit.
What else we got?
Show-wise, I think the only other one that I've got listed on here is Doctor Who.
Oh, man alive, was that good. Do we want to save that to the end?
Yeah, let's save that to the end since it's, you know.
Just in case someone hasn't seen it.
Yep.
So officially, apparently, this is part of the... I'll save it to the end, but this is part of Series 12. It's not the first episode of Series 13.
Right.
So, well, no, I'm just I thought that was interesting.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because last year with Series 12 started, and we thought we were just getting a holiday special, but all of a sudden, boom, we got
there was a new episode the next week. Full
season. Yeah, we got a full season all of a sudden. So, but yeah, Revolution of the Daleks is a Series 12, is part of Series 12. It's a Series 12 special. So still don't know when Season 13 is going to begin.
Nope.
So
it'll be sometime this year from what I understand. But
yeah. Anyhow, movies. What'd you watch for movies?
I watched, as I said, 3 movies. One of them, I don't even know if you'd really call it a movie, but Netflix had a thing called the Best of 2020 Stand-Up.
Yep.
And it was basically just like almost 2 hours, but they had one clip from each of their 2020 stand-up specials that they released.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them I had seen, some of them I hadn't. It was just enjoyable. It was nice to watch because you got multiple comedians doing multiple sets, and you didn't have to, like, sometimes you watch a comedy special that's one comedian, and by the end you're like, okay, I've had enough. You know, this was nice because it was just like a mix.
Yeah, I've actually seen it on there, so maybe I'll check it out because that way, you know, like you said, it's a nice mix.
Yeah, and you may end up finding, like, oh, I really want to check out the rest of this person's stand-up set because this was really good. So, yeah.
One of the movies I watched was called The Beast. It's an Italian film on Netflix. It's basically a not as good version of Taken.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, except this guy is a soldier for 30 years and his daughter gets kidnapped and to be sold off to prostitution, I'm assuming. And he just goes and finds her. But this happens in one night all in the same country, or maybe in 2 days all in the same country. And he's not as – apparently does not have a particular set of skills.
That's what I was going to ask.
But he's called the Beast because he just doesn't stop, I guess. But it's not worth your time.
Okay. Good to know.
What's the movie you watched?
Spree.
Oh, that's on Hulu, right?
Yep.
Don't talk about it. I want to watch it.
No, I won't talk about it. You watch it, and we'll talk about it next time.
I will try to watch it this week so we can talk about it next week.
Cool.
Another movie I watched is called Midnight Cowboy.
Like Kate the original?
Kate and I have had a pattern of watching some classic flicks. Neither one of us had seen this one before. Came out in 1969, starring John Voight and Dustin Hoffman. It's about a guy that comes from Texas and goes to New York City to become a male prostitute or gigolo. He is not very successful. Dustin Hoffman's this hustler that kind of hustles John Voight's character out of some money, but they end up becoming friends. So it's kind of like a buddy flick. There's these weird flashback scenes of something that happened to him in Texas with his girlfriend, and then some other weird flashback scenes of him younger with his grandmother. None of it makes any fucking sense. The big takeaway for me in this film was there was a tremendous amount of homosexuality in it. A lot gay men. Yes. And a lot of this man-on-man rape going on. There's guys giving each other head in the movie theater. I mean, it was for 1969. It was surprising. Because I don't remember many other movies exploring this much sexuality with homosexuality, that is, in films like this one did. It apparently it won 3 Oscars for, and it was a rated X movie when it first came out, and then the rating systems changed, and in 1971 it got re-rated as a rated R flick. But I can't give it a hard sell. I know it's like been preserved for historical things, and it was on like the AFI 100, and on and on and on. And but it's I don't know. I can see why, because the aspects of it and how it kind of delves into, like I said, homosexuality, what other movies definitely did not in 1969 or until the last 20 years like this one did. But if you haven't watched it and you're like, but it's on the AFI 100, I mean, sure, I guess waste your time. But yeah, it was it wasn't terrible, but the story just didn't make any sense. Like, I kept waiting for the story to make sense, or it's for them to tie these flashbacks into the current ongoing story, and it doesn't. And then when the movie ends, Kate literally went, "That's the end?" And I'm like, "Yes." She's like, "What the fuck was this movie about?" I'm like, "I don't know. I don't know." So, right. Yeah. What was the third movie you watched?
The third movie I watched was one of those movies that showed up, I believe it was on Prime Video. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those movies that unless you actually go into this knowing it's going to be a piece of shit.
Oh, sweet.
You shouldn't watch it, but you should watch this movie.
Okay.
It's called Max Reload and the Nether Blasters. And it stars this kid named Max. And there's a number of B-list stars in here, like his female friend that works at the video store with him, game store with him, is Hassie Harrison, who plays the girl in Tacoma FD.
Okay. I like her.
Greg Grunberg actually produced this, and he's in this, and his son is in this as the young version of him, and they look exactly alike. The person who runs the game store is Kevin Smith. And the thing is, it says this came out in 2020, but like, this is old, heavier Kevin Smith. So this was done a while ago. But it basically involves a ColecoVision with a cursed video game cartridge that this kid gets a hold of.
Okay, I have, now that I'm looking at it, I have seen this on,
I think it's Prime.
It's on Amazon. I saw it on Amazon. I put it in my, all right, I'll watch this. It does look
weird. Oh, it's garbage. But it's, if you know it's garbage going in, you can enjoy the fuck out of it.
Yeah, it literally says, a small town video game store clerk goes from zero to hero after accidentally unleashing the forces of evil from a cursed ColecoVision game.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's ColecoVision. And yeah, that is definitely heavier set.
Kevin Smith,
yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, check that one out. I enjoyed it, but again, I went into it knowing that it was going to be garbage.
Okay. All right, yeah,
I mean garbage like people nowadays would look at, say, Army of Darkness and the terrible green screening, and they'd be like, oh my god, this is so cheesy, this is so dumb. Like, it's great. It's a classic. This is not the same caliber of that.
Okay.
That's the comparison I'm trying to make, is like, you know, if you tried to sell somebody an Army of Darkness right now without telling them anything about it, you just said, oh, it's a supernatural thriller, they'd watch it and go, this was not a supernatural thriller. What the fuck are you talking about?
Okay. I got what you're saying.
But yeah, check it out. Let me know what you think.
Okay. I will.
Anything else you watched?
Yes, I watched Honest Thief with Liam Neeson's.
Oh, no.
I got it from the Red Box. So, this movie, very predictable. Okay, Liam Neeson's is a bank thief who meets a girl and decides to come clean because he wants to marry her.
Okay.
And so he calls the FBI to turn himself in. And, well, you know, they don't believe him at first. And then, well, what do you think happens, John?
I don't know. It's a Liam Neeson's movie. So I would have to guess. Oh, hold on. I would have to guess that he kills a lot of people.
Nope.
No?
Nope. No, he actually does not kill a lot of people in this movie.
Really?
Let me pull up the synopsis on IMDb. So let's see what they... Wanting to lead an honest life, notorious bank robber turns himself in and only be double-crossed by two ruthless FBI agents. That is an oversell of one of those two FBI agents.
Okay.
I mean, people do die in this film, but it's also a PG-13 film. But basically... they try to fuck with Liam Neeson's, and he shows them that you don't fuck with Liam Neeson's. It's a very predictable story. You know where it's going. You pretty much can guess what's going to happen, but I loved it. I probably wouldn't buy this and add it to my collection.
Oh, but there's some hesitation in your voice.
Well, no. I mean, like, it's a great flick. Don't get me wrong. And again, I probably wouldn't buy it and add it to my collection, but I would watch it again. Like, if it showed up on Netflix, I'd be like, ooh, I'm going to watch it. Like, for instance, they just put Unknown on Netflix. You know, that Liam Neeson's flick we went to the theaters and saw back in 10 years ago when it came out?
Yeah.
I'm going to watch that. I put it in my queue to watch it. That type of rewatch I'm talking about. Yeah.
So, I gotcha.
Yeah. News and trailers?
News and trailers. Only two trailers this week. One was fucking garbage, and one was, interesting.
All right.
The interesting one I sent you today, Surviving Death.
Yeah, that's going to be on Netflix Wednesday, the 6th.
Yep, they're doing a series exploring the what happens after you die kind of thing. It's Flatliners, the documentary.
Yeah, we've seen it many, many times over the years in different types of documentaries or TV shows or specials or parts of like Unsolved Mysteries did an episode on it type of stuff. You know what I mean? But yeah, I'll watch it probably.
Yeah. And then the other trailer that I sent you, and apparently we were not alone in thinking it was hot garbage, was Superman and Lois.
Oh, God, CW. That just looks terrible.
Yeah. I can't believe that after all this time, that was the trailer that they decided to use. It was
there was nothing about that that made me want to watch that CW show.
No. And again, we weren't alone, because that seemed to be the general consensus from everybody else was, fuck this.
Hmm. Do we know when the CW shows, Superman and Lois is going to premiere February 23rd, 2021.
Okay.
I wonder when the others are coming out, like The Flash.
I don't know.
Because that's something I really haven't seen anything about.
Right.
Nope, that's a 7th season.
The only thing that I remember seeing about The Flash was that they had to shut down production at one point because of COVID.
That is also returning on February 23rd, 2021. I'm guessing all the shows are going to be coming back that week then.
Okay.
That seems likely. If The Flash and Superman and Lois are coming that week, seems logical that others would be as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So, any news?
Tons of news. How about you?
Not really.
Okay. This one I found a little funny. I got a good chuckle out of this. Apparently, the Snyder Cut does not exist in the DC Cinematic Universe, but it's quote-unquote slightly elsewhere in what he has dubbed the Snyderverse.
Oh my fucking God.
Yeah. Yeah. So apparently his Snyder Cut will not be canon for the rest of the DC cinematic universe.
So the original Justice League movie that already came out.
Yep.
Is the official canon movie.
Yep. Not that it really matters.
Why do this? Why spend $70 million more dollars to just to shut people up?
Pretty much. That's the way that it sounded to me. Yeah, I thought it was funny. Because it's not going to be official. But all the fanboys out there, they're going to love it. They're going to be like, oh, this is what we say. This is official to us.
Yeah.
You know what Cameo is, right?
I'm familiar.
Okay. Apparently, John DeLancey was on Cameo recently, did a video, and dropped a hint that we will probably be seeing Q again soon. He didn't say in which Star Trek show, universe, etc., but he said...
Probably Picard.
Yeah.
Picard would make the most sense.
Yeah. I would love that. That's what I thought was going to happen on Discovery. I didn't think that it was going to be the Guardian there. I thought it was going to be a member of the Q Continuum.
Sure. Yeah.
This is something more for you than me, but Michael B. Jordan is officially set to direct Creed 3.
Oh, they are doing a third one. Okay.
Yep. And along those lines, Richard Donner has announced that, yes, he will be directing Lethal Weapon 5. But it'll be the last Lethal Weapon movie.
Okay.
Yeah. 16 shows right now, including The Orville, American Horror Story, This Is Us, Last Man Standing, Blackish, and a few others, are all on hold for at least a week because COVID is going fucking crazy in LA County, apparently.
It doesn't surprise me.
So they've all had to suspend production. So we could see another gap at some point. You know, they said at least a week, but it could be longer. So we might see another one of these like, oh, we were supposed to have more episodes, but, you know, we didn't get a chance to.
Okay.
This one, I wasn't even going to say anything about this, but I had to because as we were talking, something new came up. So earlier today, you may have seen this. Tanya Roberts was announced to be dead. Yeah. Guess what?
What?
She's alive.
What?
So that's why I wanted to say something, because it says that basically Mike Pingle, her publicist, is the one that announced her death. All the news outlets reported it. Well, tonight he had to say, guess what, guys? She's actually alive, because apparently what happened was her longtime life partner visited her. She's in critical condition at the hospital. She may be dead soon, but he went to visit her at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center and said his goodbyes and then called the publicist and said, yeah, I said my goodbyes. She's gone. She's done. And so her publicist was like, oh, okay, then I guess she's dead, and made the announcement. But the hospital called him and was like, dude, she's still alive.
Jesus, but she's in...
She's in critical condition. She was hospitalized December 24th after she collapsed. Mm-hmm. She is still in critical condition, but she's not dead yet.
Not dead yet. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go.
And apparently, even better than that, O'Brien, the longtime partner, was doing an interview with Inside Edition when the hospital called and was like, dude, why are you telling people she's dead? She's alive.
That's awesome. That's fantastic right there.
One piece of news refers to Doctor Who, so I'll save that for that. The only other one, and this isn't so much news, but it's kind of a public service announcement. So today I saw an article that said that you can, if you're a Verizon customer, you can get a year of Discovery Plus, which is the new streaming thing from Discovery, History, blah, 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 you know.
Okay, yeah.
It's like $6.99 a month, I think, or, you know, you can get it cheaper if you pay for a whole year. They were like, yeah, if you're a Verizon customer, go here and do this and do this. And I was like, all right. So I went over and I looked at my bill, and I noticed that I had a $6.99 charge. And I'm like, what's that? And it was like, well, that's your Disney Plus charge. And I'm like, I've paid for multiple years of Disney Plus. I know that I got a deal from Verizon that was, you know, get a free year.
Yeah.
But apparently, instead of kicking over to my multiple years that I pre-booked, they just kept charging me. So when I went to my Disney Plus account, it was like, no, you're paying us $6.99 a month from Verizon. Your 3 years are still sitting here. We've just paused that until you stop paying Verizon.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So fortunately, seriously? It was only 2 months, but that's like $7 a month that they were charging me that, you know, is gone now. So,
John, I'm a bit disappointed in you. You really need to look at your statements a little bit better, because it's like when you were paying for Shudder all those months when you thought you had canceled it.
Yeah, yeah. I've been purging lately and being more meticulous about my bills. I've canceled a couple of game subscriptions for games that I just don't play anymore, and I'm trying to get my finances my finances are already pretty good, but I'm trying to get them a little bit tighter, you know, thinking about the future, thinking about what might happen after COVID and, you know, possibly if things go well with a girlfriend moving in together, stuff like that. So yeah, this was another one of those, like, remember everybody, if it's a free trial, go back and check and make sure that you're not paying for it still.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you need to do that. Like, I was actually going to cancel. I was looking at canceling my CBS All Access.
Yep.
And then it said, no, don't do that, because it was going to expire after the next episode of Discovery was over.
Okay.
I was like, you know, I'm not going to finish The Stand. Screw it. I'm just going to cancel this. I don't need to spend $10 a month, because I got the commercial free one. Yep. And it said, like, are you sure you want to cancel? I'm like, yes. Like, come on. How about we give you 2 months at 50% off?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Fine. I'll stick around for 2 more months, and then I'm going to cancel it then. So.
Yep.
But,
but remember, but yeah, no. Because otherwise they'll charge you.
Oh no! I'll trust me. Please, like, I'm gonna forget. Yeah, our stove died. Like, the oven died. The gas valve in our oven went.
Oh no!
And we had a guy come out. Yeah, we had someone come out and look at it, and you know, we got charged $75 for him to go, you need a new one. Basically, like, he's like, we could replace it. This is when we bought the house from my aunt and uncle. It came with the house. So much like we had to replace the refrigerator and the washer and dryer because it was all old and it worked great for the two of them.
Yep.
It doesn't work great for five people. The oven was from like 1996 was the manufacturing date on it. So it had a good life.
Yep.
But he was like, what it's going to cost you to repair this for as old as this is, you're better off just buying a new one for a couple $100 more. And then you'll have at least have that to last you a while. So our oven doesn't work, but the range works. And, you know, we got our stimulus money today. I got my stimulus money today.
I got mine as well.
So that's pretty much gone because we had gone to Steve's Appliance last week and ordered a new oven, gas oven, which will be here Friday. And then we have to have someone come and install it for us. So. But someone come hook up the gas.
Okay.
So I don't know when we'll have the oven. I don't know how long that's going to take. Hopefully, like, they can deliver it Friday morning, and then Friday afternoon someone can come hook it up for us. But
that'd be good.
Yeah, but Kate, you know, with all her baking, we got a KitchenAid oven that has got the European style convection fan in it, so it's not the standard fan. It's like a ribbon fan or a bow tie fan, and it doesn't matter. It was like $400 more, but that's what she wanted. And with all the baking she does, and et cetera, et cetera. And so
will it pay for itself? Is that where you're going with that? Or will it not pay for itself?
Oh, I mean, you know what? I bet you it will pay for itself eventually. I wasn't going there, but as you brought it up, it probably will. So,
well, that's good then.
You know, I mean, she made $200. Like, she cleared over $200 just around Thanksgiving.
Nice.
And then she didn't advertise at all around Christmas, but people just saying, hey, can you do this? Hey, can you do that? You know, she pulled in another $100. So it's like, all right, if we're going to be serious about this, we need an oven that's going to work proper. And so, yeah.
Right.
Anyhow, sidetracked, but that's where I was at. You got any more news?
Like I said, I've got one other piece, but that ties into Doctor Who, so we'll talk about that after Doctor Who.
All right, well, if you haven't watched Doctor Who yet, then what the hell are you waiting for? Go watch it. And if you have, then we're going to talk about it.
That's right. Either way, we're going to talk about it.
So, what did you think of the episode?
I thought it was great.
I really enjoyed the hell out of it.
It really tugged at my heartstrings, especially at the end. But yeah, I thought that it was a very Doctor Who episode. And it was so goofy and over the top and, you know, a ridiculous pull at the end of her. I mean, doing something that was completely impossible, totally improbable, which is Doctor Who. You know,
yes.
it was Doctor Who. You liked it?
Oh, I loved hearing the opening credits again. The music. I love seeing the characters. I love that Captain Jack was back. You know, it picks up basically 10 months after the end of The Timeless Child, right?
Yep.
The Timeless Children. It picks up 10 months after that, where we see that Graham and Ryan and Yaz are on Earth, and Yaz is trying to figure in the TARDIS that they use, which is not the Doctor's TARDIS, it's the other TARDIS. She is trying to figure out how to make it work. She's trying to figure out how to find the Doctor, you know, and Graham and Ryan are like, okay, this is great, but have you seen this footage? Because actually, the show opens up with that reconnaissance scout Dalek that got destroyed.
Yep.
Chris Noth's character there, Jack Robertson, I think it is.
Yep. Great to have him back.
Yeah, it is. We find out basically that it was this Dalek was taken by the government and then it was intercepted, and now he's using it to make new androids of what were they calling them?
Oh, Jesus, I don't remember. But yeah, they're basically the design of a Dalek, but without the biological components. They're drones.
And one, like, they had a power hose that shoots water. It's got like a thing that expels gas to break up crowds, and
a sonic ability that makes it kind of like, you know, deafening noise.
Yeah. So, and when Ryan and Yaz see this, I mean, and Graham, they're like, it's a Dalek. It's a different looking Dalek, but it's a Dalek.
Right.
And so they go to confront him about it, and he basically blows them off.
Yep.
So. We find out that.
You know what's really funny, by the way?
What?
Just as a point of reference, this takes place 10 months after. If you look back, The Timeless Children aired March 1st of 2020. This one aired January 1st, 2021. So it is 10 months later.
10 months later. Yes, it is. So we find that the a woman who is soon to become the prime minister is believed she'll become the prime minister. You know, she's the one that tipped off Robertson about where she could get the Dalek parts.
Yep.
And so they're kind of working together. And of course, this brainy scientist working for Robertson discovers inside the Dalek, you know, the broken down one, organic cells that he clones. And makes a new Dalek, and he says, "Oh, I hooked him into our fucking system, and you know he's this thing's a living creature that's smart." And Robertson's like, "You need to incinerate that. Like, we can't. That's disgusting."
Right. So of course, which was one of the only wise things that he had to say.
It really was. So of course, when he goes to throw it in the incinerator, he opens up the case, and the Dalek grabs him and controls him, and we find out that of course that the Dalek is. Been creating his own place in Japan, where he has been cloning himself to load into all these drones that Robertson's created, so that it's the revolution of the Daleks. It's new Daleks that we're going to have that are going to start murdering random citizens, including the newly elected prime minister.
Yep.
Well, tell us about the Doctor.
So the Doctor, one of the things that I loved about this was the Doctor has been imprisoned by the Jadoon. Like, that's what happened at the end of The Timeless Children. We were left on that cliffhanger, and we get to see the Doctor in the prison with certain other.
Oh, yeah. This was awesome. Yeah,
certain other creatures. Like, at first you're like, oh, look, there's a weeping angel, and it's a weeping angel that, like. They're all in their own little cells. Like, she goes out for, I guess you'd call it yard time, you know, if it was an actual prison. And they're all surrounded by these red energy beams. And you see the Weeping Angel, but it has like a red tether around it. So even when she blinks, it charges at her, but then it's pulled right back by the tether. So it can't do anything. They found a way to nullify a Weeping Angel, which is pretty fucking impressive.
Yep.
And then
she called the weeping angel like Heather or something.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. She had Heather. A name for
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if it really is that, or if she's just, you know, the doctor and doing that. We saw a couple of, oh God, what are they? All I can think of is Jadoon now, cause I said Jadoon, but, oh Jesus. Remember they were there with, Tennant.
Yes. Yes. I know what you're talking about.
There we go. The Ood.
Yeah. The Ood. Yep. Yeah.
There was some Ood. Eventually we see her talking to one of the, Silents, and she says, oh, I forgot you were here. That was great.
Yeah.
The little guy that, they had to eject out of the ship because it was eating everything.
Yep.
She sees him. He's down there, being contained as well. So we get to see like a hodgepodge of some of her, some of the doctor's past, toughest enemies.
And
no, no Cybermen, no Daleks.
No. And from the hash marks on the walls, she's been there for years.
Yep.
And as she walks around, she's like, good morning, camera 37. Good morning, camera 38. Like, she talks to the cameras even.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's basically, she's not even trying to escape. She's just kind of like, I'm here. Eventually I'll get out.
Yes. Well, we learned that in the previous episodes when like, which doctor was it that punched the diamond wall?
That was Capaldi.
Capaldi, yeah, when he punched that diamond wall for centuries.
Yeah, Jesus. You know?
So, yeah. The doctor has patience.
So, one day, she's doing her morning walk, and there's Jack Harkness.
Yep.
And he basically says that he got himself thrown in there by committing some crimes. Well, he doesn't want to go into details, but, you know, he committed enough crimes to get put in there, which...
In fact, I could have stopped committing crimes.
Yeah, which is so Jack.
Yeah.
And I love him for it. But basically, he smuggled in a... it was a sphere that envelops them and could go through the barriers and through walls and stuff like that. It was an escape sphere. Like, he gave it some name and he's like, no, but I call it like an escape sphere or something like that.
Escape bubble or whatever. But here's the thing. One of the comments he drops is, it took me 19 years to get my rotation so I could be in the cell next to you.
Yeah.
So he's been there for 2 decades himself.
Yep.
And so, you know, the doctor's been there a long time. Once he found out where she was, he committed all these crimes so he'd get jailed in the same place and then spent 20 years trying to get to get to this point.
Right. Exactly.
I love how they treat time on this, to be honest.
Yeah.
On this show.
Absolutely. So, yeah. So he basically is trapped in there with her, but just specifically to get her out. That was the whole reason that he came here. And he does. He busts her out.
Yeah, and they don't waste any time.
No. They don't waste any time. They get to a TARDIS and they... Oh, well, he has the... The wrist thing. It's what he used.
Oh, yeah. His transport device gimmick.
Yeah. And I can't remember what he calls it. I'm such a bad fan right now.
I know. I know exactly what you're saying.
All I'm thinking is like temporal displacer, but it's not. But anyway, so he basically.
Vortex manipulator.
There you go. Vortex manipulator. Yeah. I was trying to look it up too. So he warps them out. They get to her TARDIS. She goes back to meet up with her fam. And, she's just like, oh, typical doctor fashion, like it wouldn't be the doctor otherwise. She's like, yep, I set the coordinates and no time has passed. This is the exact moment that you guys saw me leave. And they're like, fuck you. It's been 10 months. Like, they're all very disappointed in her and very like morose.
Well, Yaz is pissed because Yaz is hurt because Yaz is like, you left us. You abandoned us.
Yep. This is the first time any of them have ever seen the doctor just disappear like this. Like, Matt Smith's doctor would come and go out of the pawn's life.
Yes.
So they were kind of okay. Well, I mean, after the first, you know, bullshit one with her as a little girl. But this was the first time that the doctor just didn't come back.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. Yaz is pissed. Ryan and Graham are upset, but Ryan's more understanding. You know, he's like, obviously you had some shit going on, but Ryan's also a bit distant about things. They basically tell her, they're like, hey, there's Daleks afoot. We got to do something about it.
Yeah, so they head out, and he makes the comment that they're Daleks, but they jump in the TARDIS, and they head over, and they meet up with Robertson, and he kind of like handles a police box showing up in his office quite well, and he's like, oh, and if you think you're going to ring your guards, I've disabled the phone, so you can't, so very Mary Sue of the Doctor.
Yep.
And he doesn't know what a Dalek is, but they basically explained to him, this is what a Dalek is, this is what they do, they're terrible. And they go to Japan. Well, Yaz and Jack, Captain Jack, go to Japan, and they see all the Daleks and the tanks, and they're gonna blow them all up. But then the Doctor and company show up there because they discover, you know, because the Doctor discovers that the Daleks are not in, the drones are blank. You know, the Dalek drones are blank. There's nothing in them. But then, of course, we get the big plan revealed from the reconnaissance Dalek, who says, you know, this is what we've had to do. And we've been, and I like when they ask, because earlier Yaz is like draining one of the tubes into, she's like, oh, and Captain Jack's like, what are you doing? He's like, well, I want to know what they've been feeding these Daleks to have them grow. Oh, okay, good idea. And then later on, he's like, the Doctor's like, what'd you do with all the humans that you hired to build this facility and build all this once you didn't need them? What do you think the Daleks are feeding on? So they liquefied the humans and have been feeding them to the Daleks. So these Dalek clones aren't pure. They're mixed, which comes into play later on.
Yep, it does.
What did you think of the ability of the Daleks to basically teleport from Japan to England inside these drones?
I thought that was way too convenient. There's no reason that should have existed.
Yep, I agree. So they do that and they start killing people. And so the Doctor eventually sends out the Dalek reconnaissance signal, basically, and it reaches some Daleks up in space, and these Daleks head down to Earth. And they find the other Daleks and realize, hey, wait a second. These are not pure Daleks. They need to be exterminated.
Right.
And they, the regular Daleks destroy all the new clone Daleks. And so the Doctor uses the Daleks to eliminate all of them. Robertson then turns and he's like, you know what? I'm going to go with those guys. So he goes to see the Daleks, says he can give them Earth and tell them more. I want to see the guy in charge. So they take him to his leader on this Dalek ship. And basically he says, oh, by the way, the Doctor's here. And they're like, the Doctor is the enemy of the Daleks.
Yep.
I
don't know.
I love it because it's something something you've heard screamed on TV since the 1960s. So I freaking
exactly exterminate.
This show is so good. Like it's a very, I don't want to use the word wholesome, but it's like comfort food.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, The Simpsons has been on since 1989, since I was 10 years old. When I watched The Simpsons, I don't feel the same way when I watch The Simpsons by any means. But like when I watch Doctor Who, it's like I'm enjoying comfort food.
Yes.
You know, something I've watched since I was a kid, because I watched Doctor Who when I was a kid, you know, and it's still the same, like, technology's advanced, storylines have advanced, but it's still the same Doctor, you know? Like, it's gotten better, but it hasn't, they haven't changed it so much that it's not recognizable from what we used to watch, and then what they've done since this, you know, resurgence the last 15 years.
Right.
So the Daleks destroy the other Dalek. Go ahead, please.
No. I was going to basically just say that it should be noted that a lot of people had issue with this episode. I feel like a lot of the nerds out there just have issue with Jodie Whittaker being the Doctor.
I think so, too.
You're right, though. This felt very campy, and that's what you expect with Doctor Who. You do not expect – well, I'm sorry. I was going to say you don't expect deep philosophical discussion, but goddammit, Capaldi gave us plenty of those.
Oh, no. And we did get – we got several of those with Matt Smith as well, and even with David Tennant sometimes. So, no, we did.
Yeah.
We do. But when you have these specials are standalone episodes, essentially, look at it. And it's – sometimes I feel like they take what could be two or three episodes of a serial and just squeeze it into one episode. For advance the storyline, because that's what they did here. You know, they advanced by the end of the episode. We lost two companions, and we don't know what the doctors are going to do next with the one companion that she has left.
Right.
I know I jumped ahead, but I'm just saying. So, like, that's what the point of this episode was, to give us another episode of Doctor Who that's kind of a standalone, but continues series 12, but sets us up to, all right, now we have series 13. We're going to start focusing on once that comes out.
Right. excuse me, sorry. So if you're willing to go down the road of, you know, whether or not this was a good Doctor Who episode, it was. Absolutely was.
Certainly was.
It was not the greatest TV I've ever seen. I would not, there's no way I would rank this in my top 10, probably not in my top 20.
No.
But it was still good quality Who.
I popped some popcorn. I sat down on my couch. I got entertained for 71 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Good stuff. Love the good stuff.
If anything, it actually, I ended up watching, I watched this and I wanted some more Doctor Who. So I, with the HBO Max, I went back and I started watching with Rose.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I went back to Chris Eccleston, to the revival of Doctor Who.
I cannot wait to start watching it with my girlfriend. Like, I cannot wait until the day when we can actually sit down in earnest and watch these episodes, and I can introduce her to it and, you know, watch the evolution of, like, boy, this is kind of dumb. This is kind of this. Well, actually, this is pretty good. You know, this is actually, wow. This
Bad
is great.
Wolf. Oh, my God. Yeah. So the Daleks destroy the other Daleks, and they even come across the old reconnaissance Dalek, who's like, "Look, I am a Dalek. Well, you're basically, you've been altered. Well, I can be altered back. No, the only way we deal with you is to kill you." And they kill this reconnaissance Dalek, poor guy.
Yep.
The Doctor, of course, you know, Graham and Ryan and Jack, Captain Jack, they plant a bunch of bombs on the Dalek ship. The Doctor makes her TARDIS appear above, you know, in the sky, and opens the door and says, "Hey, Daleks, come get me." And all the Daleks go into the TARDIS, but it's not actually her TARDIS. It's that the other TARDIS that Graham and Yaz and Ryan came back in. And she essentially makes it collapse in on itself, sucking all the Daleks to the void. And that's how she destroys the Daleks there, and they blow up the ship, and so that's how they save the day. Captain Jack says he's going to head out and catch up with Gwen Cooper.
Yep.
So that was cool.
That was a great little drop there.
Yeah, so the Doctor, Ryan and Yaz and Graham are all on the TARDIS, and the Doctor's like, "We're going to take off." And Ryan says, "You know what? I got to stay on Earth. I got to stay on Earth, be with my mates. I got to protect my planet. I know this sounds silly." And the Doctor's sad, of course.
Right.
And basically she asks what Yaz and Graham are doing. Yaz doesn't hesitate and say, "No, I'm staying. I'm not done with you yet. I want to, you know, I'm not ready to leave you." So the Doctor's excited, of course. And then Graham basically says, "I got to stay with my grandson. I as much as fun as I enjoy spending time with you and everything, I can't not be in my grandson's life. He's my grandson."
Yep.
You know, I got to be with him. I want to see his life. And, you know, Ryan's like, "Oh, I thought I'd get to the house to myself." And she's like, "No." And so it's interesting because the Doctor gives them each psychic paper, you know?
Yeah.
And
just kind of had them lying around. Well, actually, she opened up a compartment in the TARDIS, and I think that it created them for them.
Yeah. So she gives them the psychic paper to help them so they can help, you know, defend their planet as they needed. So there's always a chance we could see them again, or maybe even a spinoff series. Who knows? I love how they ended it with Graham trying to teach Ryan to ride a bike still?
Yes.
That's how we first saw them, you know?
And then they're talking about, like, different things that they've heard about happening in different parts of the world and how they're going to go over there and investigate.
Hmm. Yeah, you're right. They talk about, yeah. And then they see Graham's wife, Ryan's grandmother. They kind of see her. She's waving at them. And it was a good ending. I thought it was a good ending. So
absolutely.
And here's the thing, and this is what's great about this. We're now at, if you will, clean slate. When series 13 comes out finally, it's going to be the Doctor and Yaz, and we have no idea what adventures they're going to be on or what's going to happen or anything. You know, they've tied up this episode, this special tied up everything from series 12. So,
right.
Yep. But anyhow,
I enjoyed it
thoroughly. Anything else? Is that it? What was the news you had that was Doctor related? Did you already say it?
Nope. So what the news is that the Mirror, which is a news publication out of the UK, has quoted an inside source who has said that this is Jodie Whittaker's last year.
Okay.
And the source said it's very hush hush, but everybody on set knows, and they're all working around that. The BBC was asked to comment on this, and they said we will not be issuing any comment about anything like this. So they didn't confirm or deny. They said nope, we're not even getting into this. Jodie Whittaker recently did an interview, and they had asked her if her time was coming to an end, and she was like, no. As far as I'm concerned, I'm still going. I'm enjoying myself, and this is all I do. If she did get done now, it would be in keeping with all the others because three seasons and they move on. If she stays on, then she would be the longest running Doctor in the most recent rebirth since Eccleston.
They really only did three seasons. I thought David Tennant, you know what it was? I think full complete seasons, but I feel like David Tennant and others did
specials.
Specials that it dragged out how many years they did it, but they did only three complete seasons.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, like David Tennant was Eccleston did one season. David Tennant was there for 5 years, basically, as the 10th Doctor, but he did three series, and then he did a bunch of specials.
Yep.
Four specials.
Yes.
So that's what helped kind of drag it out. Five specials. So that's
what I was going to say five if you count the Day of the Doctor.
Yeah. So. Oh, wow. Three. Okay. Well, I guess it makes sense then. So do you think the other female doctor that they introduced earlier in series 12, do you think she's going to be the new Doctor, or is that going to still be a down the line type of thing?
I don't know. It could go a number of different ways. I mean, if you look at River Song, like, she kept popping up and she had a role in each of the Doctor's incarnations.
Sure.
Mostly in Matt Smith, but you know, she was there for Tennant for a little bit. She was even there for Cabaldi for a bit. Jack Harkness, same way. Like, he pretty much was gone after Eccleston and Tennant. He didn't show up in Matt Smith at all, or Capaldi, but then he popped back up with Whittaker. So she could be a character that we won't see again, you know, for a couple different Doctors, or she may be the next Doctor. It's hard to tell. Like, that's the thing about this show, is that it always kind of keeps you guessing as to what arcs they have planned for people, places, things.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Very, very true. All right. Well, I guess that's everything for me.
That's everything for me as well.
Well, I'm on the Twitter machine. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K. We'll talk to you later.